This time on Culture File, we join the hunt for the black narcissus as our scent correspondent Odette Toilette leads us by the nose, yeah, I'm going to do all the smell puns, through a century of smelling. And this time we fetch up right at the portal of the 20th century, ready for bottle branding, synthetic scents, and Caron's mythical perfume, Narcisse Noir.
In 1900, at the big Exposition Universelle in Paris, the art decorative art show, which actually encompassed much more than that, it was a huge, huge, big look at us for France and our colonies. You had Lalique and Baccarat exhibiting perfume bottles. Now, in the 19th century, if you were buying perfume, you would have probably brought it in quite a generic container, and then when you got home, put it in your favourite jar or bottle. But what you start to get in 1900 or around that time is this collaboration between perfume houses and design houses to create specific bottles that celebrate the fragrance inside and that really are just pure works of art. And René Lalique, for example, he'd started in jewellery. His bottles were just stunning, absolutely beautiful. And the entrepreneur Francois Coty, who founded Coty the Fragrance House, he was just kind of taken aback by Lalique and approached him and said, right, I'm going to make perfumes and you've got to make my bottles. And they were just beautiful. And I think you get that idea of covetousness and the fetishization of the product. And suddenly you get these lovely illustrations in the magazine and the press with these gorgeous bottles, and that sort of I must have this perfume, this particular one, this is it, really starts to come in.
It seems today that once you take the perfume out of the bottle, you're missing something from the fragrance. And prior to this, prior to the Lalique's development, you're saying that that wasn't crucial, that there wasn't a kind of a brand imposed on the smell by the shape of the bottle and the design of the bottle.
So you might have had a characteristic style. So Guerlain, for example, is famous with one style of its bottles that they are covered with bees. So you did have packaging styles associated with brands, but what you didn't have was an aesthetic for a particular perfume. The perfume house who really understood this was Rosine, which was founded by Paul Poiret, the couturier. And Paul Poiret has been celebrated as one of the biggest figures in 20th century fashion because he got women out of corsets and into a much more relaxed fit of clothes, like his sort of Aladdin pantaloon pants and his hobble skirts. And you could see a very strong link between his designs and the costumes of the Ballet Russe, for example. So lots of bright colours and idea of folklore. And he also had a fragrance house, which he called Rosine after one of his daughters. He did an interview in the 1920s in which at his place in Paris, and was speaking with the journalist interviewing him and saying, you know, why should we be limited to creating smells that are just the flowers and the plants? This is boring. And I want a perfume that smells like the sea. I want a perfume that smells like the rocks. He was really trying to expand the imaginative scope for perfumery. And yes, absolutely used synthetics.
A lot of this was happening in Paris at a period when modernism was at its height. Is there kind of a modernist trend in perfume at the time?
This question as to whether you can hook fragrance into cultural moods and aesthetics is such an interesting one. I think that many perfume houses borrowed from modernism, or rather, it might be fairer to say that they borrowed from the idea of abstraction. So coming up with smells that don't just smell like things in nature, that you can say emerged at this time, aided by synthetics, but also a very singular vision of creators like Gabrielle Chanel, with Chanel No. 5, which really didn't smell like a flower, at least not at the beginning. If there was a perfume that stood for these early years of the 20th century, I would choose Narcisse Noir by Caron. This fragrance is ostensibly named after a flower, but it's named after the black narcissus, which doesn't exist in nature. And I think that that is interesting for this time because we're moving away from fragrances being named after real things and towards the world of the fantastical, where a perfume house can create in your imagination the world of something that's not real, but trade off the idea that it just might be and they've bottled this precious essence. And it was so popular when it came out in 1911 and throughout the 1920s that suddenly all sorts of other fragrance houses came out with Narcisse this and Narcisse that. And funnily enough, Caron didn't like this and were very happy to sue. I'm fascinated by this because they came up with a fictional flower which they traded off as real, but then it took on a life of its own as an entity. Everyone else rushes to copy it, and then suddenly it's fake all along, it's imaginary. And the judges in the courts weren't having any of this. So they said, well, no, Narcissus is real, the word exists, you can't own it. I think I first smelled Narcisse Noir about 12 years ago because I'd heard about it. It's got such a legend attached to it and I thought I've got to smell it. And I think I went into Harrods or something just to have a sniff. And the problem was that it's almost impossible. I'm doing it now. I'm doing the very thing I was annoyed about. You can't just go and smell it by accident and have that lovely moment where you just experience it because everyone's going, this is amazing and oh, it's wonderful. And so It's very hard to describe the smell without this clutter of hype around it. It's an orange blossom fragrance, and it's kind of dusty, dusty rooms full of trinkets. It smells like a perfume you'd imagine a woman wearing on a first doll, no earlier than 10 p.m. and definitely in the middle of a city, so it couldn't be anywhere else but a city.
Odette Toilette there, and she'll be continuing her journey into scent next Friday on Culture File. Meanwhile, something for you to do. If all that talk of perfumes past has triggered a memory in you, we'd like to hear your stories of scents gone by, and we've a special number for you to ring if you'd like to leave one for us. The number is 061 748 472, and Liz will give that number again later. And also, starting tomorrow in all the usual places, there'll be available a half-hour-long Culture File Weekly with all the best of the week's files. Check out the Classic Drive site for further details.